to me, Jesus. When I am alone, oh, when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus.
When I come to die, when I come to die, when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Oh, I need, all I need, oh, is Jesus. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. You can have all. All I need, oh, it's all I need. Would you give me Jesus? Oh, it's all I need. In the morning when I rise, when I lay my head down.
We'll be right back. morning. Happy Hallow, God is good, amen. Y'all dressed up for the occasion, I see. It's just a joke, I'm just kidding. God is good, amen. Well, got a couple things coming up. November 14th is a big day. It's an exciting day. I've got 9 youth signed up for baptism. Praise God. And I believe we've got, I don't know, I'm not seeing the latest list, we got 4 or 5 adults signed up as well. So November 14th, Baptism Sunday, is going to be an awesome Sunday. We're going to take our time. We're going to baptize them. We're going to let them speak a little bit. And if we preach, we preach, and we'll see what God does that day. So it'll be really good. Also, that night is worship night. I want to encourage you, if you've never come to worship night, and I know it's a commitment, and you've been at church, and then you got to go home, and you got to come back that evening, but I want to encourage you, come back Sunday evening. It is so powerful. Worship in the cafe together as a church is just, I can't explain it. It's just wonderful, and the Spirit moves in there, and so please come, enjoy. We're also having pizza, there you go, there's food, so you don't have to think about supper. So pizza is following that. So I want to see anything I'm missing. So there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer for that night, just so we know how much pizza we need to order for everybody, because I'm sure everybody will probably eat about 1 piece, right? I'll eat 5. I'm just kidding. Another thing that has come up, and I know Alina and Peyton Bosch do this in Clarion, and it's called Freedom for Youth. It's a nonprofit, non-denominational organization that comes into small towns, and we reach the lost. We go out and we reach youth, and we share Jesus with them. And we go to a neutral site, which in Webster City, our plan is to go to Fuller Hall. And if you've been in Webster City at 3:15 p.m. and you've driven on either Bank or Des Moines Street, that is a ministry ground. And that's where we're going to be. There will be more details on this, but if you've been thinking at all that, you know what, I'd really like to serve somehow, some way, I believe we're going to start this thing up really soon. Me and another pastor in Webster City are kind of leading this thing up. But if you're interested in reaching the lost, loving on kids in any way, maybe that's tutoring, maybe it's just giving them food or whatever it might be, talk to me. This is something, the more the volunteers, the better. I don't know, I'm not for sure. Peyton, where's Peyton? There you are. Peyton, you've done it quite a bit in Clarion, so she really knows what's going on, and her mom, Alina, does that as well. So we would be representing, this church would be representing Christ in 2 different towns through Freedom for Youth. So something to pray about. Go online, Freedom for Youth. It'll tell you all about it, their mission statement, everything that they're about. It is so solid. It's powerful. So, Mike? He has something to say. Praise God.
Feel like I got a big pumpkin behind me.
You got so, jokes, dude.
So we've been talking about pastor appreciation this month, and I guess on a personal note, I kind of have a problem with it being just a month. Appreciation is not an event; it's actually an action. So we should be kind of doing this more than just the month of October. So that's just me. So I'd like to share 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. And it says that the 2 greatest commandments that God has given us are to love him with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. So to show our love to our God and neighbors is to show our appreciation. And by appreciating others, we allow God to use our lives to show his appreciation to others. We always represent God in our lives. So with that, as a congregation, we just want to show our appreciation to you. And Danny.
Thank you, sir.
Aaron.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
And we'd like to thank their wives also, because they're a big part of their ministry. So carry on, Aaron.
Thanks, man. And you all thought I was done. So I have been reading through Daniel. What an intense book in the Bible. And it's not one that you can just read on the surface and just fly right through. And yesterday morning, I just sat down and I started reading Daniel chapter 7. If you're stuck in a rut and you're like, where should I go in the Bible? And, you know, we always say, you know, start with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Go to Daniel. Holy mackerel, it is a powerful, intense book. And in chapter 7, Daniel has a vision. But I want to encourage you, in chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, I just wanted to read this. And I want you to know, I'm still dissecting it. I can't just read through Daniel and say, aha, I got it. I mean, there's so much intensity in this book. But in verse 13 of chapter 7, it says, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, honor, and a kingdom, so that all the peoples, nations, and populations of all languages might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away. Amen? And his kingdom is one, which will not be destroyed. He's victorious. Amen? It will not be destroyed. It's awesome, this book. So if you want to say, if you're sitting there thinking, where should I read? I'm just kind of in a conundrum right now. Go to Daniel and dig into that book. It is powerful. So let's pray. God, we love you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you move as always in this place. I ask that nobody walks out of here the same way they walked in. I pray for my brother Danny as he prepares to come up here and give this word. I pray that you speak through him, Father God. God, I thank you for everyone who is sitting in this congregation. I thank you for everyone who's watching online right now. God, I pray a blessing over them, Father God. Lord, I pray for those that are sick, for the multiple ones that are sick, that are in the hospital right now, that are dealing with different ailments. Lord, I pray for them. I pray that you'd heal them and touch their bodies, Father God, in Jesus' name. God, also we pray just for the giving and the tithes, Lord. We pray that everything that comes in, Lord, may your kingdom just be expanded, Lord. May your kingdom be blessed. May we move forward in your kingdom, Father God. So God, I thank you so much for this day, and we bless you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Good morning. If you'll stand and greet one another today. Our hands are lifted high. Our hearts are bowing in reverence. And we're surrounded by the glory of your presence. With every creature, every tongue, lifting our voice to the glorious one. Glorious one, glorious one, light of the world, you outshine the sun, King of all kings, eternity sings. Glorious one. Of infinite worth.
that carved out the ocean. You hold the universe, and still you run to the broken with every heart that's been redeemed. We're lifting our song to the glorious King. Glorious one, glorious one.
Before the
above all. Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free. His grace was deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child.
Overwhelmed by all you are. Oh. Your promise never breaks. Your beauty never fades. What else can I say? There's so many reasons to love you. Faithful to the end. God, you are always good. Where do I begin? There's so many reasons to love you. Your promise never breaks. Your beauty never fades. What else can I say? There's so many reasons to love you. There's so many reasons to love you. Jesus, the anthem of my heart. Jesus, the anchor of my soul. I'm overwhelmed by all you are. Oh, how I love you.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Good morning, church. Man, it is good to be in the house of the Lord with all of you as we get the opportunity to worship our King, spend time in His Word. There is nothing like the presence of Jesus in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I look forward to all week for this time for us to gather in the name of Jesus, that we can be together. This is supposed to be a place where we can let go of our burdens, lay down the heavy weights, let our fears be put at the feet of Jesus, things that have overwhelmed us, things that we've given into during the week that maybe we didn't do so well at. We're to bring all those to the feet of Jesus and allow Him to help us to walk and to live and to have the joy of our salvation. Is there anything greater than when you really are focused and fixed on the fact that it's finished? It's finished. You can't add to your salvation, and you can't take away from it. Jesus did it all when He went to the cross. Our part is just to walk with Him, to live in Him, and to experience the joy of a King who wants our company. Is there anything greater than that, really, when we start to think about what life really is? We're distracted a lot. There's a lot of things that get in our way. You know, last week as we were looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, where Jesus says that there's two gates, isn't there? One gate leads to a very narrow road. There's only a few find it. But there's a wide gate, and many are on it, that leads to destruction. And Jesus is just trying to say, I'm the gate. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 9, twice in there, Jesus says, I am the gate, the sheep enter through me. Twice He tells us that His sheep hears my voice, the sheep hear my voice, and they will not listen to another. There's one gate, and it's Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way to the Father except through Him. Isn't that great news that there's a way? There's a way. No matter what your life is, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done, the King of the universe is inviting you and I to come into His presence, to know the truth, to walk in Him, to be filled with the Spirit of the living God so that we can know Him. That's the full work of the Spirit, is to make much of Jesus in your life and mine. That's the good news. He didn't leave us as orphans. He didn't leave us to ourselves. He said, I'm going to send a helper, a counselor, in John 14, 15, and 16. And that counselor will come and he'll comfort you and he'll teach you all the things that I've been telling you, and he'll make known to you everything that's coming if we're listening. Brings me to where we're at today, and I want to pray before we get into this text, but there's a lot of voices out there proclaiming that they're hearing from God, and I think we need to know the difference. I think it's a day and age which we need to be alert. It's a day where we really need to understand and know the truth of the Word of God. We've got to be ready. Jesus has warned us over and over that these things are coming and we need to be ready. Let us pray. Father, I pray. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus this morning that you would open our hearts up to your presence, Lord, that you'd open the eyes of our hearts that we might see you for who you are, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. There's no one who comes before you and there's no one who comes after. You are the Messiah. You're the Savior of the world. You're the King of kings and Lord of lords. Lord, there's no one else in which we find life, find forgiveness, find being adopted into the family of God. Oh, Lord, make your word come alive to us today. Lord, may we know the truth. You're the person of truth, and the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. May we be the pillar and foundation where that truth is shared and taught and learned. And Lord, I just thank you today that you are good and that you have a word for us. And more than ever in our life, we need to have the anchor of our soul be Jesus and Jesus only, that we may know you and walk with you and have our feet firmly planted in Christ. Lord, bless this body. Encourage every person who's sitting here, no matter what storm, no matter what thing is happening in their life, that they would know that they're held by you and no one can take you out of your hand. Lord, we bless you. And all God's people said, amen. So we're going to jump right back into Matthew chapter 7, and Jesus is really coming to the point. And if you remember in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, this is one great big sermon that we're taking weeks and weeks and months to get through. Jesus did this in one setting and on the Sermon on the Mount, and we are just trying to dissect it and learn everything we can. But Jesus started very clearly about what does it mean to be a part of my kingdom, and we come broken, we have spiritual poverty. We have no way to get to God except through Jesus. And the good news is, Jesus says, I am the gate. And if you come in repentance to Jesus today, the good news is you're on the narrow road. You didn't earn your way to that road. You didn't become good enough. If you repented and you were broken before God and you gave your life to Jesus, the good news is he sends his Spirit and marks us in Christ that we belong to Jesus. Man, I love that. God is good. But as we're getting into this text, he's warning us there. Literally, in the narrow or the wide road, there's many proclaiming that they know the truth and they know the way. And even in Judaism in and of itself, who are waiting for a Messiah, missed the coming Christ. They missed Jesus when he walked on the earth, most of them. And they thought they were on the narrow road, that they're God's covenant people. But Jesus is telling them plainly, you're never going to get there unless you come through me. He is literally the curtain that was torn to allow us to come into the Holy of Holies, that we have freedom to go to God, that we're called children of God, we're heirs of God, we're a part of the family of God, we're the bride of Christ. I mean, this is good news. But as we look at the word, there's warnings, and Jesus is trying to prepare, and he's talking to his disciples and all those who are around him on the Mount of Olives, and he says this, starting in verse 15. Says, watch out for false prophets. Huh. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly there are ferocious wolves. Meaning they don't really have your welfare in mind or mine in mind. They have their own agenda. Says, by their fruit you will recognize them. And he says, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Sounds easy. Really does, doesn't it? Should be simple. Truth is, they come in sheep's clothing. They look like, act like, talk like. Maybe you and I. We live in a culture today where people are listening to people all over because we have this thing called the internet. I have a hard time when somebody proclaims themselves to be a prophet or an apostle because Jesus said who the apostles were, and the original 12 are the only 12 that have a certain function that we don't see today necessarily, but I believe there is a gift of apostleship. It's a sent one. A lot of missionaries who go to different parts of the world and do different things. They start new works, meaning no one has built on this foundation. They're starting a new work in a country or in a place, and God has gifted them in such a way that they can do that. Learn language, learn culture, get in, and God gives them gifts of the Spirit so that they reach people. God does miracles and wonders and signs. That's every time I've gone on a missions trip, God has gifted me specifically for that trip, and he moves. But I'm concerned because I through the years, I have so many people that say, do you listen to so-and-so? Now, is it wrong to listen to good teaching? No. Question is it good teaching? Is it really biblically sound and based in the truth of God's word? Or is it somebody that has their own agenda? You know, I have a problem with these so-called apostles and prophets in our culture, most of them, because they are millionaires and some of them are billionaires, and it's from some of you. I have a problem with that. I look at people in our culture, and we had a whole bunch of them here a while back during the election proclaiming all sorts of things that were going to be, and this is going to happen, and it's going to happen because I know this guy's a prophet, and they're connected to this general, and it's going to happen. And I said, no, it's not. Why is it sometimes the more far out and the more strange some of these people are, the more people that follow them? I'm like, man, I should just start becoming a wacko. We'll get a whole bunch of people. I'm just telling you, some of these folks are flat out strange, and people just flock to them. And I'm just like, oh, there's just an illusion, a spirit of delusion on them. I'm like, stand on the truth. We have no excuse. Every one of you have more than one of these. Right? I mean, think about it. If you come to this church when I'm preaching and don't have your Bible, you're making a mistake. Have your Bible. Know that what I'm saying is true. Right? That's why we're here. To grow together. To know that we're preaching the truth. There's that fly. I'm going to get him. But anyway, I have a real burden because of what Jesus is saying here. And in our culture, we're seeing more and more self-proclaimed prophets and apostles and people that say things. Most prophets don't go out and proclaim themselves to be a prophet. God proclaims them to be a prophet, and the body confirms it, right? There's a big difference. And they're not raking in all the money and living in million-dollar homes and doing all these weird things. I just want to encourage you that everybody that speaks the word of God isn't of God. The devil used scripture to try to deceive Jesus, but Jesus is the living word, which is amazing to me to even think that the devil tried to do this, but Jesus is the living word in the flesh. He's the word incarnate. He's God in the flesh. But he tried to use the word literally to get Jesus to sin, and he didn't sin. He was tempted in every way and never sinned. But we live in a culture where people are desperate, and I think they're hungry, and people want spiritual things, and so they tend to be open to all sorts of things. I even know people that really are more, there's more New Age stuff going on in their, quote, faith than there is true spirituality, and that makes me nervous for them. Because in here, he's telling us some things, and how do you know if a prophet is really a prophet? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy 13. Let's do a little digging around. Deuteronomy 13 says some things straight up to us that I think we need to hear. Listen to what it says, starting with verse 1 of 13. It says, if a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a sign or a wonder, and if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place, and the prophet says, let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of the prophet or the dreamer. So, what he's teaching and informing us of, there's some that are going to come and proclaim things and even things that might come true, but if it goes contrary to what you know the Word of God actually says and teaches, don't follow them. Don't believe them. Don't give them any heed. You know what's going to be difficult as we do these kind of things, as we really dig in? What's going to be difficult as time goes on, God has said that there's going to be all sorts of these kind of things happen. There's going to be signs and wonders. In fact, Matthew 24 tells us, before I read the rest of this passage and another one, it says that in latter times, when things are coming to a head, there's going to be false prophets and messiahs proclaiming all these things, and they're going to perform all sorts of false signs and wonders and miracles. But what makes the sign and the wonder and the miracle false? Do you know? It's not because it's pretend. It's not because it doesn't happen. It's not because fire didn't really come down from heaven like it talks. It's not because they won't rise from the dead, all those kind of things. It's because it's not of God, it's of the enemy. You know, I spent some time in Haiti. And, you know, shamans can heal people. Did you know that? Shamans do a lot of different things that are crazy in the spiritual realm, but it's not of God. And when I was in Haiti, went there as a nurse, but I spent most of my time helping people get free from demonic possession and activity in their life. Didn't go there for that reason. Wasn't even expecting that to happen. I was just handing scalpel and bandages, and then they come and get me and take me away to preach to people. And I saw probably 250, 300 people delivered from demon possession. And I've never seen anything like it in my life. And I only share that with you not because of me, because it couldn't happen because of me. It happened because Jesus was present and Jesus was setting people free. I was just a vessel. Do you know that you're a vessel that God can use any way he wants? Do you realize that they'd given themselves to these shamans because they'd done some things in their life and they got what they were asking for and they saw miracles and they saw these signs, but then the devil had them, had their heart. So they're false. Problem with some false prophets and some false apostles and some false pastors and teachers, some false messiahs. We see all sorts of false messiahs that have raised up, and that's why how we got different religions in the world and cults. They proclaim they know the truth. But listen to what he says here. He says this: the Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. Isn't that interesting? The Lord is allowing this in your life to test you to see, do you really love him and honor him with your life? Do you know the word? The written word's sole purpose is to lead you like a lamp under your feet to walk in truth and to know truth, but it's to lead you into the presence of the living word, who is Jesus. It's all about a relationship. It says, the Lord is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. That's what we have to ask ourselves. Is he your focus? Have you fixed your eyes on the author and the perfecter of your faith? Is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere? Keep his commands and obey him, serve him and hold fast to him. And it says a prophet or dreamer must be put to death for inciting rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. The prophet of a dreamer tried to turn you from the way of the Lord and command you to follow. You must purge the evil from you. But look with me at 18 of Deuteronomy, chapter 18. Listen to what it says. 18:20 and following. I like hearing those pages. Says this in verse 20 of chapter 18 of Deuteronomy, but a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death. Pretty severe. Says, you may say to yourself, how can we know, this is our question, when a message has not been spoken by the Lord. And it says, if what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously, so do not be alarmed. So earlier I was starting to talk about some of the prophets that were prophesying all these things about Trump and different things that were going on, and I'm speaking about it because I know a lot of folks were really holding on to this, but as soon as it didn't happen, as soon as they realized it wasn't going to happen, what did they do? They started saying, oh, so many of you are going to think we're not really prophets. You know, it's probably going to be worked out another way, but this is, do you understand God doesn't speak in confusion? He doesn't. If he tells somebody something, it's exactly the way he said it. And it will happen exactly the way he said it. And some of these prophets were trying to say, well, it was supposed to happen, and it really did happen, but it didn't happen. Really? Man, keep your focus on Jesus. Keep your focus on the Word of God. In Matthew 24, I just want to look at this together for a moment, even though I quoted some of it. You know, Jesus is talking in here about things that are coming, things that, because the apostles had asked him, when will all these things take place, and when will it be the sign of your coming, and all those kind of things in the beginning of Matthew 24. And Jesus told them all sorts of things. There's going to be rumors of wars and kingdom rise up against kingdom. There's going to be pestilence. There's going to be all these things. And these are the beginning of the birth pains, and the end hasn't come yet, but it's to come. And those birth pains are going to increase and all those kind of things. But can I say, I think false prophets and apostles in our day, people are so hungry for something spiritual that they're wide open to some of these folks. And we need to close the door. You need to know the truth of the Word. You need to know what Jesus actually teaches. You need to know what he's saying. There's good people to listen to out there. Don't misunderstand me. I'm always leery when somebody starts proclaiming themselves to be an apostle or proclaiming themselves to be a prophet. I think you need to take a step back, take a close look. Matthew 24, starting verse 9, it says, then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate one another. I can't even imagine that. And it goes on, it says, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Now, I have a question. Because we can read that and go, well, you know, he's probably talking about the lost, right? How can somebody who's already deceived and in darkness be deceived? Have you thought about it? They're already lost. They're already deceived. They're already following the prince power of the air. They're not walking in truth. They're not walking in Christ. They're completely separated from God. They're already deceived. They stand condemned as they stand in John 3, 16, 17, and 18. At the end, that's what it says. Those who have not received Jesus stand condemned already. So the possibility, as it says in here, listen to what it says, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people because of the increase of wickedness. The love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Who is it that stands firm to the end? Those who put their faith only in the person of Jesus Christ and hang on. You know, sometimes that's what we can do, is hang on. I know that I know who Jesus is, and I know that he's saved me, and I know that I know that he's prepared a place for me, and I know that he said things are going to get bad, and I know he said there's going to be false prophets, and they're going to do unbelievable things. And it gets tricky when they do it in the name of the Lord. We're going to see later in the scripture where that's true, where they did. They said, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? In your name heal the sick? And Jesus says, be gone from me. I never knew you. Start to keep that in your mind. So when we get there, that'll make more sense as we talk about that passage. But as we're looking at this passage, our responsibility as believers is to know the truth, to walk in Christ. Now, I have a question. Does anybody in America really have an excuse when we have so many resources to tell us? There's every kind of translation and Bible. How many have more than five Bibles? I got a lot. I got a whole stack on my shelf, and I don't give them away very often. Every once in a while I'll give one away, but they're usually Bibles I've used and marked and done all sorts of things in, and every once in a while I'll give one of those away. But we have every resource. Not only do we have Bibles, but we have good commentaries. We have all access to everything now on the internet, and you got to be careful. There's a lot of junk out there. Truthfully, I've got the best commentator in the whole world. You know who he is? Holy Spirit. I believe the gospel is meant to be simple. So somebody like me could actually read it and go, oh, walk like this, okay. Live like this, okay. Be like me. Touch the sick. Help the hurting. Lift people out of the pit when you get a chance. Share the good news of the kingdom. Pretty simple. Go and make disciples. Do what I've done as you go. You know, and I look at this, and I think as we get into the scripture, verse 24, Jesus says it again, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Who are the elect? Yes, it is. You're absolutely right. It's us. Isn't it something to know that you're marked and you're called the elect? You're called the chosen. You're called a child of God. You're called an heir of all that Christ has. Can you just let your mind dwell on that for a moment? We don't have to go chasing after the next greatest thing out there. You already have it, and his name is Jesus, and he gives you the word. You know what's the hard part about being able to test false apostles and prophets is we don't live by them. So if you only see them on TV or on the radio or on your phone, you don't get to live around them and see who they really are. You have a hard time deciphering their fruit. But let me tell you, if they're living in a $1 million house, it gives you a clue. And they're begging you to give money to them instead of your local church, something's really wrong. They will not be at your deathbed when you're in trouble. There's a lot of false prophets. There's a lot of false teachers. There's a lot of false workers. And in light of that, there's false disciples too, isn't there? Jesus said, the road is narrow. I'm the gate. You enter by it, and my sheep know my voice. Do you know his voice? Do you hear his voice in you at times? I mean, it's like that voice. It's like you're out here, but it's in here, in your head. You hear God speaking to you. Have you ever had those moments where God speaks to you and says, you need to go talk to that person and encourage that person or give to that person or go help that person? Or they just wake up in the middle of the night and you got somebody so heavy on your heart, you just pray. Say, God, I don't know everything that's going on, but I know something's going on. Months later, you find out a big crisis was going on right at that time. We serve an amazing God. And that's why he sent his Spirit, that we might have life, have it to the full. You know, the enemy only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's all he wants to do. He wants to trip us up. Here's the hard part. He does it a lot, sometimes, through things that are so close to the truth, but they're not. How important is it for us to know the truth and the Word of God? I want you to see something in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and following through verse 5. It says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. But this is the part that really hits me. having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. That is the problem. They have a form of godliness. They have a form of looking like maybe they're a part of the family, that they might really be the real deal, and they're not. Do we need discernment today? I think we need discernment. I think we need to have the wisdom of Christ. We need to have the mind of Christ. I believe we better have that helmet of salvation firmly put in place, that we know the truth and that we walk in the truth. Listen to what it says here again in Matthew chapter 7. Should have marked it. I went flying right past it. Well, you know why I'm looking? I'm already back to Matthew chapter 7. And I'm looking for Matthew chapter 7. That's the way it works. But in here, it talks about fruit. And that fruit is important. But real quick, Mark chapter 4. I want to read this verse, and then we're going to talk about this a little bit more. It says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable?'" And if you remember the parable of the sower, it says, "How then will you understand any parable?" It says, "A farmer sows the word, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like the seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. It says, when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away." Are you listening to that? One hears the word, but it falls on hard soil, and literally the enemy comes and snatches it away. There's no place for that seed of God's word to take root in that person's life. The second one is a rocky soil. It's soil, and there's rocks, and it receives it with joy, but as soon as persecution or trouble comes, they die. They wilt and fall away because they have no root in them. They have no firm foundation in Christ. The third one, these are troublesome to me. It says, "Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life," did you hear? The worries of this life, "the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come and choke the word." What's the soil of your heart this morning? Because he's talking here about bearing fruit for the kingdom, bearing fruit for God, bearing fruit about our salvation, being living testimonies, being men and women who the Spirit of God is working in and through in ways that you can't do naturally. I mean, you love where you wouldn't have loved. You forgive where you couldn't have forgiven. You have peace where normally you'd just be completely wrecked. That's what being a believer does for us. It doesn't mean we don't get shook. It doesn't mean at first we don't get rocked, but we don't stay there because we have a helper. Isn't that great? But the first three of these soils bother me, because a lot of people like to say that there's three of these that people are saved, but it doesn't say that in here. It says they die. It says they wither and die. And it goes on, it says this, "Others are like seed sown on good soil. Hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what is sown." And in John chapter 15, we get a better idea of that fruit that he's talking about. And we've talked about this quite a bit through the months, but I don't know how much we really grasp that abiding in Jesus, remaining in Christ, you begin to produce the fruit of God, because you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you can't help but have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, all goodness, and self-control begin to be manifested in and through your life. It's not perfect, though, is it? And you know how we know? Because he says, you only bear fruit if you remain in me. If you don't, no branch can bear fruit on its own. In fact, that branch that dies and withers is taken out and thrown into the fire. But it goes on to say, "It is to my joy, to my Father's joy, that you bear much fruit. My Father's the gardener, and if you're bearing fruit, he prunes us." And can I just say, pruning is difficult? I pruned some trees, and I'm not a professional at this, so I get done pruning the tree, and my wife says, I think you killed it. And I'm like, we'll find out. I don't think so. I think it'll be okay. And it, by God's grace, I've been lucky enough that they come back and grow and do well. I have pruned something before, and it didn't come back, though. I got carried away. But you know, God, the Father, knows exactly how to prune you and how to prune me. Wouldn't it be different if we began to look at all the things we go through in life as maybe he's pruning us to bear more fruit of his kingdom? You know, there's some places I think I can stand pretty solid and secure, strong. But man, that thing that comes around the corner where I wasn't expecting it can rock me. And God allows that in your life and in mine because the Father wants to prune us that we are truly, fully dependent upon him and not on our own abilities and things that we can do. I was in college, and I just share this illustration because this is how good God is. I'd made a commitment the last 3 years of Bible college at Crown College, which was St. Paul Bible College at the time, that we wouldn't take a loan because I began to look at what's happening. You're taking all these loans, and then, you know, where do you go as a new pastor? You go into a church of 30 to 50 people, if you're lucky, you know, and they can pay you pennies, and then you got this big debt. Well, I had a friend challenge me, and he says, well, if you believe God's called you here, then trust him to pay for your bill. And I'm like, well, I'm trusting him to pay for it afterwards. That's how much faith I had. Well, my wife was listening, and we talked that night, and she goes, you know, I think he's right. Man, I struggled. I wrestled with it because I'm like, oh, Lord, you know, are you really wanting us to do this? I mean, I was afraid, okay, we're done. We didn't have any help or support from family or anything, so I was working pretty much full-time, going to school full-time, running a youth group full-time, had two more babies while we were in college with three, a family of five. I did everything the easy way. It's terrible. So we made a commitment. We're not going to do it. And amazingly, God provided by first kicking us out of school for 2 years and then coming back and becoming a resident in Minnesota, and then he provided, and I had to make so much money extra to pay for it. My senior year, I had it all mapped out, man. I had everything to the penny, how we're going to do it, how we're going to make it, and we're going to make this thing work, you know. And I was working literally before the sun came up till after the sun came down, and I thought, you know, I've got about a month left, and if I can successfully complete this month, we got it made. We're going to make it. And I got sick. I got really sick. I ended up flat on my back for the rest of that time. And I'm laying in bed crying out to God, you know, oh, poor me, Lord, what in the world? You know, I've been working hard. I'm going to do this. You know, Lord, I could have made it. So we ended up being $4,000 short coming into my senior year. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how we're going to make it. We didn't send any notes home. Wouldn't matter. Didn't have anybody to support me back home. So we prayed, said, God, if you want us here, we're going to be here. We trust you. We've made it all this time. Went 2 years without taking a loan. God provided. So you have 2 weeks, and I've shared some of this before, but you have 2 weeks until Dave Thompson, who's a finance guy, says, hey, come here. You know, and 2 weeks down the road, sure enough, right at 2 weeks, he says, Danny, come here, I need to talk to you. And I'm like, oh, here it goes, getting kicked out, you know. And I got there, and he goes, I just wanted to tell you, somebody put $1,000 on your account. That happened three more times over the next 2 weeks. None of it came from people back home. Today, I think I know. I think it was my professors. I'm telling you, I could just weep thinking about it because God just said, Danny, I love you. I'm with you. I'm for you. That's what he wants to do in your life. So he doesn't mind. But you know, if you're never in a place where you need, we only do what we can do naturally, you're never going to experience the fruit of the kingdom in your life. And my question this morning, as we look at this, are you watching, listening, learning from men and women of God who are truly sound in the scriptures I had people in my life at the right time that spoke into me, that challenged me to do things that I would have never have done. But God moved, and because I did it, and I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you, and can I just tell you, I was scared spitless. And God provided every penny. So many times in our college years, and especially in those years when it was just tough, young kids, we'd be short $267.13. And I'm giving you an exact penny because we would receive $267.13 from different places. Just amazing what God did over and over and over. Do you experience the fruit of God when you step out and begin and remain in the vine, begin to be the witness, the testimony, that vessel that God has called you to be? He will provide for you what you need at that moment. Some of the guys and leaders in training, we talk about this, that memorizing scripture is not the easiest thing when you got two verses every week and they start stacking up. But what's cool about it is starting a habit, a lifestyle of meditating and memorizing the Word of God. Why? Because I don't want to sin against God. Because if I'm not in the Word, how do I let the fruit of that Word come out of my life? And it's amazing to me how many times God has brought a scripture that I memorized a long time ago, even forgot that I knew it, but in a certain situation, He brings it to my mind. Haven't you experienced that? I mean, isn't that a blessing? Isn't that encouraging? I had planned to go a lot further, but I'm not going to do that today because I don't have time. But listen, Jesus is good. We're not talking about being religious. We're not talking about going through the motions of trying to act like a good person. We're not talking about, you know, if you just do this and not that, you're okay. We're talking about the King of the universe who came and gave His life for you and for me, that we may be rescued from the domain of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light, that we might experience His presence, His love, and Jesus' promise that He'll make Himself known to us if we obey His commands. Is there anything greater in the whole world than knowing the God who created this whole thing? And I'm just telling you, if you haven't experienced that, you need to open your heart and your life up to it. You need to yield your heart and say, God, I really want to know you. I don't want to just be a pew setter. I don't want to just be somebody who, I said a prayer once. I want to be a person who's in a continual relationship with the God of the universe, and His name is Jesus, and He loves you. Father, I pray this morning, pray with all my heart that we'd be a people who know your voice, that we'd never be deceived by a false prophet, even if they do incredible signs and wonders and miracles, that we would know that those wonders and signs and miracles came from the enemy and not from God. Lord, that we won't be people who are deceived by false apostles or pastors or teachers. Lord, we'll be men and women who dig into your word, who gather for fellowship, who learn and grow in the word of God, and that word is a lamp under our feet that assures us that we're walking in the truth and that our feet are firmly planted on Jesus, our rock and our salvation. Oh, Lord, let us hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'll stand and join us in this last song.
In the darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son. To to reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross, for even in your suffering you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel to the world shall not kneel, shall not faint. By His blood and in His name, in His freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
God is good, and He loves you, and He's for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of His Spirit, go in His strength, go in His love, remain and abide in Christ, and let the fruit of His kingdom come out of you and come out of me. And all God's people said, amen. Lord bless you.
Just give me.